I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. The prophet who spoke this was speaking in Psalm 77. Long before the coming of Christ, there were many prophecies made about Christ, the coming Messiah. In fact, there were some 360 prophecies made about the Messiah. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled all those prophecies. We've mentioned this to you in past, but I've not been here on a Sunday, so maybe some of you have not been for a Fatima conference, or when we come for confirmations, have heard this. But there is a mathematician who said, what would be the probabilities of, let's say, 8 men? And these 8 men are going to speak about a future person. These are 8 men independently of each other in location, independent of each other in time. They make a very detailed prediction about some man in the future. What are the probabilities that all these 8 predictions would come together in one person? The probability is phenomenal. It would be easier to cover the state of Texas with coins, silver dollars, and mark one of them and blindfold somebody. So this man blindfold is walking through the state of Texas, and he starts out maybe in Houston and gets up to Dallas and San Antonio, and he's working his way up to wherever. And he stops right in the middle of Texas, bends down, and picks up the coin. And we're only talking about 8 prophecies. Christ fulfilled over 360 detailed prophecies about which were spoken long before he even came. It's a wonderful thing when we study sacred scripture, because we see that God has given us two, as Saint Pius X said, two main evidences or sources to prove that this is the religion revealed by God. Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies, but even greater than that, he worked miracles. He worked miracles of the most astounding nature, raising people from the dead, sight to the blind, curing cripples, curing leprosy, feeding multitudes with just a few loaves of bread. My dear friends in Christ, God has revealed one religion, and that one religion, the true religion, is revealed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that is why, when we think of what a wonderful gift God has given us, the gift of the true faith, that is why it's so important for us to live that faith. There's a lot of people in this world today that live and walk in darkness, don't know what life is all about. They're confused. But we have the gift of true faith. You know, when I think of the parables of Christ, our Lord was the greatest of teachers. He was not only speaking for the people of his time, but he knew, as he would commission his apostles, go teach all nations, and his church would continue to preach his parables down through the centuries. And the wonderful thing of our Lord's parables are this: they are always relevant. They're always understandable. No matter where you go in the world or what time of the and era of the world's history, everyone can understand exactly what Christ is speaking. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Our Lord was the greatest of teachers. And when I read these parables of our Lord, I can only marvel. So simple and yet so profound. I'd also have to say that about the commandments. God gave us 10 commandments, and you can't add to that. The commandments are just so spot on. They cover everything that we're obliged by God to do. They're commandments. First 3 commandments pertain to God, because God comes first. We always put God first. and the next seven pertain to our neighbor. But even that is ordered in a wonderful manner. So what's the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. So our Lord's telling us, God's telling us, get it straight. Worship the true God. Now on this score, I'd like to share with you a little information here. If you ever read the Protestants' numeration of the commandments, they are off by one commandment. And because of that, they get thrown off all the way down. So if I were to ask you, what's the fourth commandment? Well, if you would say, of course, honor thy father and mother. But the Protestants would say, no, keep holy the Lord's day. How do they get that messed up? How do they get off track on that? Because they take the first commandment and divide it into two portions. The first commandment God gave, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And then God enumerates this first commandment. Don't have graven images. Graven images, you know, don't make a golden calf or whatever you might try to do. A graven image. And somehow the Protestants make the first commandment into two commandments. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Second commandment is, thou shalt not have graven images. And on that point, I'd like to express something to you. I remember we had a funeral one time, and this Protestant comes into our church in Omaha, and he's looking at all these statues, and he's like, you could see the smirk on his face. Graven images. Well, let me just tell you this. Jesus on the cross is not a graven image. The image, a statue of Mary, the mother of God, is not a graven image. In fact, in the Old Testament, when God commanded the Israelites to make the Ark of the Covenant, they had two adoring angels on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Angels, statues, on the Ark of the Covenant commanded by God. But now I also have to say this. For all their talk about graven images and you shouldn't have statues in the church, come Christmas time, what do you see in front of these Protestant churches? The nativity scene. And what I do is I take my glasses, put them at the end of my nose, I say, graven images. No. What is the difference between having statues of the nativity, the baby Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, the shepherds? What's the difference between having them outside your church in a nativity scene and having statues in your church? No, graven images are when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he tarried, he was with God, the Israelites grew restless and they built a golden calf and they began to worship this golden calf. That is a graven image. So how do the Protestants then, how do they catch up? They're running out of time. They only got so many, they only got 10 commandments. How do they combined the last commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and his neighbor's goods. When those are two different categories. God gave us the sixth and the ninth commandment to protect the family. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's one particular area. And then the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. And the tenth commandment, don't covet your neighbor's goods. You don't want to steal from your neighbor. Even if you wouldn't do it, you don't want to desire to steal it. So wonderfully, God gives us these 10 commandments. And these are our roadmap to get to heaven. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you enter life, keep the commandments. And when I can only marvel when I look at the commandments, you can't add or subtract to those commandments. They are so beautifully expressing all of our relations with God and what God expects of all of us. Now I want to get to the first commandment again. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. I am amazed, absolutely amazed, that somehow people cannot see what has happened in the Catholic Church since Vatican Council II. When I was in fourth grade, I know I was sitting in the second row, three chairs back, treat us back. And a priest came into their classroom to give us catechism. This is right after Vatican II. He drew a big mountain on the board and said, this is heaven up here. And we're going up the Catholic road. But all roads go to heaven. Meaning all religions go to heaven. Just recently, Francis I repeated the same thing I heard back in fourth grade. Francis said, all religions are paths to God. And now that's raising eyebrows, like, huh, what? A light bulb's gone on people's heads. John Paul II, in 1999, publicly stated, the Holy Spirit has inspired the founders of other religions. And these founders wrote down doctrines and worship and ceremonies. And he said, the Holy Spirit, John Paul II said this, false pope, the Holy Spirit is present and active in all the religions of the world. That is preposterous. You might as well just take the first commandment and throw it out the window. Because according to Vatican II and the modern church and this false hierarchy, there are no false gods. And we know that is utterly preposterous. I know I've told you this story before, but it's probably about back in 2007. I got a call from Andrew Rebel. Now, who is Andrew Rebel? He is a reporter for the magazine Inside the Vatican. And he's from Australia, so he talks with an accent. But I'm not sure if he knew the time zone, but he calls me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I can tell right off the bat, because he had emailed me saying, Bishop, you need to come back to the church. So, you know, phone's ringing and ringing and ringing. I'm thinking, might be somebody dying, might be last rites. I better get up and answer this phone. And I can hear his Australian accent. Oh, this is Andrew Rebel guy. So he says, I just want to see how you're doing and welcome you back to the church if you would like to come back. I said, Andrew, let me just ask you a question, okay? Now, this is not bad for coming out of a totally dark, deep sleep. I said, Andrew, may I ask you just one question? Would you ask a Hindu to pray for you? Real quiet. Hello, Andrew, you there? Mate, come on. Would you ask a Hindu to pray for you? No. I said, why not? He knew where I was going with this. I said, you wouldn't ask a Hindu to pray for you because he prays to false gods, right? Right? So I said, Andrew, ask me this question. How does it make sense that the man you think is the Pope invited 150 different religions to Assisi, 1986, and he wanted them to all pray to their gods for world peace? What he's telling everybody is, I think your prayers to your false gods have value. Have value. But it even goes worse than that. You know, this is what we call, what the popes have condemned, repeatedly condemned. Pope Pius IX condemned in the Syllabus of Error religious indifferentism. Oh, it doesn't matter what religion. All religions are going to bring you to heaven. He condemned that. That's false. God has revealed one religion through Jesus Christ. Pope Pius XI condemned, in Mortalium Animos, the idea that we should worship with other churches and other religions. We should all get together and tolerate each other and work. Let's all get along. Can't we all get along? He condemned that. Because he says it's based on the erroneous opinion that all religions are more or less good and praiseworthy. No, there's only one religion revealed by God through Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, Christ has only founded one church. I got to tell you this, though. It's kind of funny what kids will come up with. Now, I don't know what stores you have in the Spokane area, but in the Midwest, we have this store called Dollar General. And we also have stores called Dollar Tree. And you suppose you can get everything for a dollar in there. So Sister Francesca, one of our sisters in Denver, was teaching these children about the first commandment. And she's from Germany, so she has a really strong German accent. And she says, "Children, what is idolatry?" The kid raises his hand. "Idolatry is down the street here and you get real cheap stuff." Idolatry or adolatry? He didn't get it. I have to tell you one other thing before I forget. You know, we think of the commandments we're talking about. Let's talk about the fourth commandment. You know, right after God, what's the very next commandment? First three pertain to God because he comes first. Very first command after that is honor thy father and thy mother, the family, parents, authority. You know, sometimes I think I've heard everything and you come up with, you hear something like, boy, I didn't think it'd get this worse than it has. So I do a lot of traveling. We talk to a lot of people, especially after our masses and things. And so there's this family I was talking to after mass. And unfortunately, the mom is not capable of homeschooling, so the children are in a public school, but a very small rural community. And this little girl's telling me, she says, one of the kids in school, one of the little girls thinks she's a cat. A cat. And I also heard a little bit further that they call themselves furries. And the teachers have got to respect this. You know, what a disservice. What is the point of parents and teachers, etc., but to prepare children to be young adults and be able to make it on their own? Allowing this girl to live in a dream world where she thinks she's a cat is bizarre. And not only that, it's utterly preposterous. And the little girl told me, and she says, and some of the boys got in trouble. I said, why is that? Because they were barking at her. This is, hey, am I awake? Is this a dream? This is crazy. Absolute nonsense. But you know, I'd like to say this real briefly. Our Lord warned us about this. And also, St. Paul, he said, there will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves doctrines according to their own lust and turn away their hearing from the truth and turn to fables. If St. Paul's words were ever true, and they have always been true, but they're especially true today, it's gotten crazy out there. But that's the reason why I'd like to share with you this. What a wonderful gift God has given us of the true faith, especially in these times. And you know, when people say, well, I remember I was in Rome back in 1993 with, at the time, Father Dolan, to be Bishop Dolan later, and Father Ephraim Cordova. We were visiting different places in Europe, and some of the traditional Catholics in Rome wanted me to have an interview with this, his name was Stefano Pacci. He writes for 30 Days magazine, 30 Days Within the Church. And we were being interviewed, and he was wanting to know about the state of Econtist, that we don't think John Paul II's the Pope. And we were just hammering. And it didn't help me that there was an old, traditional Catholic woman there. And I would say something as being translated in Italian, and she's just even more forceful. I'm like, okay, I'm talking to this guy, but you keep this down, because she got really mad at the reporter. But the reporter said, does it ever bother you that there are how many millions and millions of Catholics throughout the world that think John Paul II is the Pope? And then what, a traditionalist? Thousands? I said, not a matter of numbers. I said, even more important is this. You know, I said, it might bother me if it wasn't so blatant. Here's the man who's supposed to be the vicar of Christ, Jesus' representative, and he's inviting other religions to Assisi. They even put a statue of Buddha on top of the tabernacle and offered incense. Do you get that? Do you know how blatant that is? John Paul II, he came out with a new code of canon law. You can give communion to Protestants. The church never taught. In fact, the church's law forbids it. Canon 731. It is forbidden to give the sacraments to heretics and schismatics unless they are reconciled to the church. This is not gray or kind of iffy or no, this is black and white. Real clear. So I said, you know, I might be bothered, but on the other hand, I know how many in this modern church have really lost a faith. Why? Because they have false shepherds who are leading them astray. I was talking to my doctor. He's modern Catholic, but he's very conservative. He said, you know what's really tragic? He said, how few Catholics today even believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. They don't believe in transubstantiation. I said, yeah, I heard that. I heard that there was like, what, 30-something percent? He says it's under 30%. They don't believe Christ is present in the Eucharist. What a tragedy. And how do we explain this? It's the apostasy, which St. Paul said to the Thessalonians. The day of the Lord will not come until the apostasy comes first. We have the gift of the true faith, how important it is that we persevere. And it's mind-boggling to me when it's getting so clear, and even people in the world, even non-Catholics can see what's going on with Francis. He is so blatant that there are some people that leave the traditional movement and go back to the modern church. That just boggles my mind. I know I mentioned this, I think, previously, maybe back in June when we had confirmations here, but I on the plane one time, and this guy had a real heavy accent. So I said, where are you from? He says, I am from Greece. Oh, I could tell. I said, what did you do for work? Oh, I was a radiologist, a doctor. Oh, we got talking. And then he kind of lowers his voice. What do you think of the Pope? I says, I think he's lousy. And he says, thank God. He says, I think he's a communist. Now, he's not even Catholic. He's an Orthodox. He's Orthodox. But he said, I try to tell my Catholic friend, my Catholic doctor friends, look what he said. Look what he's doing. They don't see it. I said, I'll just tell you really, my honest opinion, he's not the Pope. He doesn't speak for Christ. He's contradicting what Christ taught, what's in Scripture. He's contradicting past popes. There's no way a guy can be a Pope. And he was like, yes, that's that, yes, yes, you know. So you've got a non-Catholic who can find the truth. But I got to tell you one last story, and I promise I will end this sermon because I don't like giving long sermons. We had a blind woman show up for Mass. She came, got dropped off by a taxi cab. She had a seeing eye dog. She goes up the steps, and you know, went into church and sits right up in front. Dog sits down. Dog was very well behaved. And I asked her, you go to Latin Mass? She said, I want to go to Latin Mass. I found it on the internet. I said, how'd you do that? She has a Braille and it translates what's on the internet. She can read through Braille. She can read what's on the internet. She said, I knew something was wrong in the church. I knew something was wrong. I could hear it, and this is not the Catholic faith anymore. This is not the Mass the way it's supposed to be, and there's not the reverence there. And she's blind. That is absolutely, to me, amazing. With such a handicap, but she could find the true church and find the true faith. So getting back to it, just want to share with you all, let us thank God every day for our Catholic faith and let us live our faith. Live it. And not only that, but let us share it with others. I'm always in the back of my mind thinking, everybody I encounter, airport, traveling, wherever I encounter people and they're interested or they ask me questions or something, I'm going to try to bring them closer to Christ, closer to the church. And most importantly, I'm going to pray for them. Because we have this treasure, this great gift, the pearl of great price, and we want to share it with as many people as possible. So I've gone longer than I normally intend to go. Thank you for your patience and listening. And let us love our faith and let us live our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.